Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Islam ID. Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all of time.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRB English Radio, my dear friends from all around the world. Welcome back to a new episode of your very favorite youth station. I am Asma and...
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam.
This is Abu Zahra.
Yes.
Happy to be here.
Of course. I am so pleased to see you in here. As we are going through the time of Arba'in, it's very much interesting to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. You can't not talk about it. I think everywhere you look around, you just see signs of Arba'in. In fact, Qum right now is empty.
Exactly.
When I drive in the streets at peak traffic time, mm-hmm. I feel like, where is everyone?
I feel like I'm the only one who's remaining
exactly,
in here.
Exactly, yeah.
So have you been there?
Alhamdulillah, I went a few times many years ago, before I had kids. Alhamdulillah, it's a beautiful experience. It's amazing.
Exactly, yeah. Unfortunately, I had only once the time to experience this amazing event. I have participated in it, but it was amazing. Up until now, I feel like it was a dream.
Yeah.
You know, the night and the days are just the same. All of them are so active and people are so kind and this passion that is everywhere. Yeah.
It's like that theme. It's a one theme throughout the day and night. It's
exactly.
About Imam Hussein. It's about, you know, that spirit of love. And it's just so amazing.
Yeah, yeah. You know, when I was there, I just was feeling that nothing else is important.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very interesting that when you are taking part in that migration, I call it, you would see that all the people are together as in one soul. You do not see many people. It's just one.
Yeah,
it's one soul going like a current of a sea to get into the ocean.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's very amazing.
Yeah. You know, when you said that nothing is important, you know, it's. I feel like that walk, that Arba'in time in the walk, is like a mini life story. Where if we can live our lives like this, where we have one goal and we're walking and working towards that goal, and all the other mundane things of life are just there, and we should use them when we need them. So we don't worry about the food. When we're hungry, we're going to get the food.
Exactly.
When we're thirsty, we're going to get the chais and the whatever to drink. When we're tired, we'll rest. And then when we're not tired anymore, we start walking. You know, we use the mundane things of life, all of them for that one goal. And
exactly.
I think if we can keep that spirit in our lives, that's really amazing. I think it's a great place to learn these kind of life lessons.
It's focus, you know.
It's focus, yeah.
As if all your thinking has been focused into one main purpose and goal.
Yeah, yeah.
You have it in front of you, and that is to get to that shrine that seems like, okay, you got all the rewards that you wanted to get. By the sight of the shrine, you forget about all the troubles that you've been through
exactly,
in the way.
Yeah.
And then the blessing is all there. Yeah.
And you forget the tribulations. You know, it's not an easy walk, right?
Of course
you've done
it is
the
not.
Walk.
Yeah,
there's a lot of difficulties. You have, you have blisters and
exactly.
you don't have a place to sleep. And sometimes things where you stop is dirty. You don't have the washrooms that you would like to have.
You're not having your usual lifestyle.
Exactly. But you're ready to overcome all of that because you focus on that goal.
Exactly.
I still remember those days. The first time I went, I had so many blisters within the first 2 hours of the walk.
Yeah.
And I still remember that. The thing that would make me keep moving was I would try and picture the shrine, I would try and picture Karbala and be like, this is where I'm going.
Yeah.
And that just rejuvenizes you and then you start walking again. And then as soon as you forget, you start feeling the pain again. And so you want to rest and you want to eat and you want to... And then you remind yourself of the goal and all of a sudden
motivation.
You have that...
Exactly. When the motivation comes,
you forget about all the troubles and the
things that you're suffering from. So let's go for a short break and then we'll be back in no time.
Saint John,
Welcome back. You're still listening to Youth Station. Well, we're talking about Arba'in, and that's amazing. And I'm so sure many of you who have experienced that walk, you could have the same feeling as we have right in here. Talking about it is very difficult because you have to feel it.
Yeah, you can't
talk about it. Before I go there, I was hearing people talking about that, and I felt like, okay, how come? How come these people all have different perspectives?
Mm.
But the thing that is the same in all of their description is the love that they feel.
Yeah.
The love and the thing that after all of these terribles that they go through, as you just mentioned, the blisters and the... You get
the
tired,
rush.
Of course.
You get very tired, yeah.
And then after all of these problems, you wish to do it again and again and again.
Yeah.
Then when I had the experience, I understood that it's beyond description.
Yeah.
You can't
put it into
words. I
feel it's a bit like Hajj, right? Everybody talks about it. And the only memory, people who haven't been for Hajj or for Arba'in, I think the biggest memory they keep of it is the rush, the millions of people, how difficult it is, you know, the tribulations, the hardship, you know, all of that, the heat. That's for people who haven't been there. Those who have been there, they're like, all of this is there. But it's like you don't feel
it. It's trivial compared to the thing that you're going to
experience. Yeah, your emotional state, your mental state, your spiritual state is such that these things becomes insignificant.
Exactly.
Right? They may seem big for people who are back home,
mm-hmm.
Who haven't had the chance to. And inshallah, we pray that everybody gets a chance to go for Arba'in, to go for Hajj, and for the ziyarat of the Ahlul Bayt. But yeah, for those who haven't had that, I guess it is difficult to understand what it is like. But inshallah, we all go there and we can taste this this amazing experience.
Yeah, because to taste it by yourself is different from just hearing that.
Yeah. So alhamdulillah, a lot of people are trying to make the experience alive through videos and photos and blogs and all of that. Obviously, that can't match the actual experience. But I guess it's a good way to use media. And I think we need to use media in our favor mm-hmm. here. If we can, you know, use hashtags and try and bombard the social media with Arba'in content so that the whole world can get to know about it. Because really, I don't think there's a precedence of a place that has about 20, 25 million people being in one place within mm-hmm. a span of 2 weeks.
Exactly.
Right? I don't think it's ever been seen in the world. And yet the world doesn't know about it. I mean, it's ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense in the world where everything is connected through the internet. Still, people don't know about Arba'in.
It's unbelievable, you know. I can't believe that because even they themselves in their own medias are talking about it because it's not an easy thing.
Yeah. But when they talk about it, they don't make it sound so important. It's quite insignificant in their media as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot more importance is given to some trivial matters that come in the news than what is happening over here.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we need to use social media and try and you know, raise awareness
about
this.
And there are many, of course. There are many youths who are sharing their every step with their stories, photos, and whatever that they get to have in their journey.
Yeah.
And we need to do very much beneficial.
Yeah. But we need to do more. I think
of course.
It's never enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
We need to do a lot more. And inshallah, the word can mm-hmm. spread.
So when you look at it symbolically, what do you get from it?
So I think there's a lot of messages in this journey. There's a message of unity, obviously. There's a message. So one thing recently, this year, I've heard it more than previous years, is this idea that this walk of Arba'in in this area is like a demo of what it would be like when the Imam comes.
Yeah.
You know, there's like, can you imagine this? Iraq is a poor country.
Mm-hmm.
It's been destroyed by a war.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Saddam did his job and then Iraq was invaded and
not
that
many
was destroyed.
People are well-willed.
Yeah, and the country in itself is in a terrible state, unfortunately, right? But when this time comes, you see the Iraqis themselves, right? They're so giving, they're so welcoming.
Generous,
They're so generous. And they tell you, we've been saving up the whole year for this time.
Yeah.
So when you go there, you don't feel any need. Your food is sorted, your accommodation is sorted, everything is there, right?
Yeah.
And they say that at the time of Imam Mahdi, when the Zuhur happens, well, after the government of the Imam gets established, right? The beginning there'll be like wars and there'll be a fight against the oppressing powers and all that. But once everything gets established, life will be like this, where people won't feel the need, right? There's a hadith that says that some rich people will go out to give their zakat and look for poor people to whom they can give the zakat, and they won't find anybody who's deserving of zakat, yeah, because everybody's so well off. There's no needy person there, right? Exactly. So the ulama are saying that this Arba'in period is like is a demo of what it would be like. Because normally we can't imagine what does it mean that nobody is in need. Well, you see it over there.
Yeah,
you see people are so selfless and there's abundance of everything despite the huge numbers.
They're ready to give everything.
They're ready to give everything, and you see that such a system can only work when the human being reaches these kind of beautiful traits, right?
Yeah.
You cannot have a society where there's no poor people if the society is going to be thinking in a capitalistic way, it's going to be thinking in an individualistic way. This is not an Islamic way of life. What we see in Arba'in is not capitalism, right?
It's people, so selfless,
it's selfless.
Everybody
selfless.
Cares about the other one without knowing them.
Exactly, even without knowing them. Exactly, they call you to their house. Like, that's you don't see that anywhere else. You know, inviting random people to your house, that seems dangerous.
Yeah, but strangers there, from the streets. You take strangers from the streets to your house.
And they beg you, right? They beg you. I still remember when I went, they were literally begging us to come. And when we would say no, they would feel bad. They would feel
hurt.
Exactly,
yeah.
At a point, we'd be like, okay, fine, we'll come, just to make them happy. So it's amazing how Islamic, the Islamic lifestyle and what Islam promotes as what the human being should be, the traits he should develop, is naturally going to lead to a system that is going to be taking care of everybody. There'll be justice, there'll be abundance, there'll be needlessness, right? Whereas a system that is devoid of God and devoid of divine guidance will be a more capitalistic, you know, profit.
People would think about their own benefit and that's it.
Exactly, individualistic, profit-oriented, you know, that kind of lifestyle. Obviously, you're going to have a big difference in lifestyles and people, poor people and rich people and so on.
So Arabian pilgrim has got too much of things to say. And as I just told you, when you look at it symbolically, you could get too many ideas from it. One of them is passion, just as the brother said. It's a demo to what's going to happen at the time of the appearance of Imam Mahdi, ajalallah faraja. And then the other ones are just the passion, the sympathy that people have toward each other, the much of caring that they share with their fellow people, and the friendship and unity and many more.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Yeah, as we just talked about it, it's beyond description. You cannot put something great into some just simple words, because the feelings that you get and the emotions that would just to come into your heart are just not the sort of simple sort of feelings that you could just talk about them. This pilgrim is just going to give you too much of a reward as well. The person who has left their houses to get into that pilgrim are not the same people when they come back. They are totally different people. And it must be clear in their action, in the way they define things. Just as we said, after you're back, you feel like, okay, the things that used to matter too much to me are no longer that meaningful. All I do is just to get much more of meanings from whatever I am doing.
Yeah, but we need to keep this feeling and maintain it in our life after the
event.
Yeah,
throughout the year.
And that's
for
the difficult part. And I think like any other event, like any other experience, for us to be able to maintain that experience in our lives, we really need to, one, keep reminding ourselves of that, right? So I think one of the things that I learned a lot in the walk was how you need to keep reminding yourself of why you're doing what you're doing. Of why are you living life, for example? What is my goal?
Yeah.
If we don't keep reminding ourselves, we'll end up forgetting. That's why, for example, the Quran says, remind, for reminder is beneficial for the mu'mineen. Where Allah keeps talking about remembering Allah again and again, or remembering death. And we need to start acting on it, right? So we should remember that the whole purpose of the journey of the Imam Hussein and so on was to establish Islam in our lives, in our individual lives, in our society. So the first thing we need to do is we need to act on Islam, right? And if we do that, we'll see that experience and that love we had in Arba'in can actually continue in our day-to-day life.
Yeah.
And reminding ourselves and so on. And I think it's always possible. I think we underestimate the impact that these actions have in our lives, right? Arba'in is like a refresher, is like, you know, refueling ourselves. if we're going to continue our lives in like the before we went for our buying, then we're just going to lose that fuel and then go back to zero. So we need to maintain it. We need to work on it. It requires work. It requires effort. It's not going to happen without effort. It's not going to happen passively.
Yeah, that's very true. Still, I would love to talk more about it, because the more you talk about it, the more things would cross your mind and the more things you would remember from your own walk. So unfortunately, this is all the time that we had for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope this walk would happen for every single one of you who's listening to us, because it's an amazing journey and an amazing experience. And I guess everybody would have to go for it at least once in their life, try it, and then you could see that you would get addicted to it. And every year you would wish to go there.
That's so true.
Yeah. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for listening to us. Until another session, I bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.